Hey, it's Gabe. I want to recommend a podcast I think you'll enjoy called What Could Go Right. On What Could Go Right, the hosts, Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel and executive director Emma Varva Lucas, sit down with expert guests to discuss the world's most pressing issues. They look back at how far society has come and look forward to what it will take to achieve a brighter future. If you're looking for a weekly dose of optimistic ideas from smart people, listen to What Could Go Right wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that shines a light on the ups and downs of everyday history. I'm Gabe Lousier, and in this episode, we're talking about all the lucky breaks and sheer coincidence that helped turn a new French rose into World War II's flower of victory. The day was April 29th, 1945. The world-famous Peace Rose was introduced to gardeners at a special ceremony in Pasadena, California. The rose that would one day bear the name of Peace was developed by French horticulturist Francis Meillon between 1935 and 1939. He and his father Antoine gathered different varieties of roses from all over the world and then experimented with them in their private greenhouses near Lyon, France. Each year, the Meillons bred thousands of roses in hopes of producing a striking new variety. In 1935, after several attempts at cross-pollinating two tea roses, Francis and his father managed to create a promising hybrid, which they dubbed Rose No. 33540. They spent the next several years nurturing the seedling and watching its development. To their delight, the plant thrived and proved to be remarkably resistant to weather, disease, and insects. However, the real payoff was when the plant first bloomed, revealing large yellow-gold flowers tinged with pink along the edges. In addition to their beautiful color, the rose blossoms were enormous, measuring 6 to 8 inches in diameter. And because the bush bloomed more often than most roses, about 25 times each year, there were plenty of blossoms to go around. In June of 1939, Francis Meillon introduced the new variety to an international group of rose growers. He called it Madame Antoine Meillon, after his mother, and he promised that cuttings would soon be available for purchase. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to keep that promise. Just 3 months later, World War II broke out, and the global rose trade ground to a halt, along with everything else. Meillon knew that it was only a matter of time before Germany invaded France, and he wasn't sure what would happen to his family's estate under Nazi occupation. He decided that the best way to safeguard his new rose was to send it out of the country before the borders snapped shut. He managed to send cuttings to his friends in Italy, Turkey, and even Germany. Then, in June of 1940, he readied one final batch of grafting stems for shipment to the USA. The package was reportedly transported in the luggage of a U.S. consul and made it out on the last plane to depart France before the Nazis took over. During the war, Meillon had no way to communicate with his friends overseas and wasn't sure if his plan had even worked. Luckily, as he would find out years later, It did. All of the cuttings he sent survived the trip and were delivered safely to his friends. The roses grew just as hardy and beautiful in a variety of climates and quickly became a regional favorite wherever they were grown. Mayence rose took on several different names during the war. In Italy, it was called Gioia, or Joy. And in Germany, it was called Gloria Dei, or Glory of God. But it's the flower's American name that's proven the most enduring. The cuttings sent to the U.S. were delivered to horticulturist and rose breeder Robert Pyle, whom Mayence had met during his one and only trip to the States. Pyle propagated the rose's budwood in his own trial garden in Pennsylvania. Then, he shared clippings with rose growers throughout the country to test them out in different climates. Pyle also sent samples of the plant to the American Rose Society, which promptly declared it one of the most beautiful roses in the world. With that ringing endorsement and positive results from his team of growers, Pyle decided to patent the rose under Mayence's name and release it for sale in the U.S. Thousands of plants were propagated in preparation, and a contest was held to pick the new name. In late 1944, Pyle and his colleagues reviewed hundreds of submissions and ultimately settled on the name Peace, the thing that everyone in the world was craving most. Plans were made to reveal the winning name the following spring during a ceremony in Pasadena, California, the home of the famous Rose Parade. The event was held on April 29, 1945, and was a featured highlight of the first Rose Show, sponsored by the Pacific Rose Society of Pasadena. Spanish-American actress Jinx Falkenberg was a special guest at the ceremony. She helped release a pair of doves into the air to mark the occasion, and then christened the rose, saying, quote, "We are persuaded that this greatest new rose of our time should be named for the world's greatest desire, peace." Those in attendance didn't know it at the time, but the ceremony happened to coincide with the fall of Berlin to Allied forces. The war in Europe was coming to a close, just as the peace rose arrived. Robert Pyle had written to Francis Mayence months earlier to tell him about the peace rose and the upcoming ceremony, and while the letter wasn't delivered until that summer, more than a month after Germany's surrender, the delay likely made the new name seem all the more fitting. In the wake of the war, the peace rose struck a chord with the international community, and as a result, more than 30 million bushes were sold over the next decade. The rose became an especially popular choice for public parks and World War II memorials. Peace has claimed a host of honors over the years, including in 1976, when it became the first cultivar to win the title of World's Favorite Rose. But the flower's biggest claim to fame is probably its appearance at the inaugural meeting of the United Nations. When the delegates gathered in San Francisco in the summer of 1945, they were each presented with a peace rose in the hopes that it would, quote, "influence men's thoughts for everlasting world peace." As for Francis Mayence, he continued to breed roses after the war, developing more than 150 varieties during his lifetime. His family made a tidy profit from sales of the peace rose, and the company that grew from that success, Mayence International, is now one of the largest and most respected rose breeders in the world. In the decades since its introduction, the peace rose has been used to create hundreds of other rose varieties. So many, in fact, that most modern roses are now thought to be descended from peace in one way or another. How strange to think, Mayence once wrote, that all these millions of rose bushes sprang from one tiny seed no bigger than the head of a pin. A seed which we might so easily have overlooked or neglected in a moment of inattention. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to send them my way by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Casby Bias for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.